now. So you pray that God would speak to us through the message tonight. Psalm 71 is one of the scriptures I'm going to mention. I'm going to mention several others. How many of you have already been gone and back on vacation this year? Would you raise your hand? Well, there's just a very few. It's a little late for you. Maybe I can get the other 85% in here tonight. I want to preach to you on how to have a Christian vacation. How to have a Christian vacation. Lots of scriptures in the Bible speaks of rest. The Lord told the disciples one time, He said, come into a desert place and rest for a while. There certainly, God showed us in the Garden of Eden that He worked 6 days and rested the seventh day. I don't believe it's God's will, and I feel guilty when I say this, because I'm the world's worst sometimes. I don't believe it's God's will for us to just push our bodies 7 days a week all the time like that. I believe that God designed your body to have some rest every now and then. As I said, I feel bad saying that because I never do that. Once in a while, I'm myself, and especially when I'm off traveling, I'll stay in a motel room and stay there all day long and not even go out and not eat nothing or nothing and just read my Bible and pray and stuff like that. And it does wonders just for your body. I believe God wants us to have a rest. I don't know where the vacation stuff come from, but it can be a good thing, can be a bad thing. How to have a spiritual vacation. I'm going to give you three things tonight real quick. We'll dismiss here and go to our meetings about a Christian vacation. The Bible says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now the real rest is going to come by going to the Lord. You ain't going to get no rest out there beating the traffic in 95 degree weather and spending every dime you got and getting a fuss over it. And then griping all the way and can't pay your bills the next month because you bloated all on vacation. That ain't really what the Lord intended. I know some people that's more wore out after their vacation than they would have been. They say, I can't wait to get back to work so I can rest. And that ain't going to do you no good. Amen? It's a place of relief. A vacation is supposed to be time off. And if you work 50 weeks a year in one of these factories or plants, and they give you 2 weeks off, get some rest. It's good for you. God wants you to. And you'll do better when you come back. In Psalm 71, look at verse number 1. Psalm 71 and verse number 1. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in Thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline Thine ear unto me, and save me. Be Thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. There's your modern day word, resort. That's a big thing. If you think the Bible's not up to date, you read that word right there. That's a big thing nowadays. Come to this resort. Come to this resort. Buddy, I got a resort I can tell you about tonight. Come to the Lord and take a rest. Buddy, you really want to rest? Find it in the arms of Jesus. Yeah. Amen. You'll be a whole lot better off. I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for Thou art my rock and my fortress. One time the Lord took the disciples in Mark chapter 2 and the multitude to the seaside. He did it again in Mark chapter 10. You know the old saying, sinners go to the beach, Christians go to the coast. And they took the Lord here, took them to the seaside. There's nothing wrong with the water, nothing wrong with the sand, and nothing wrong with Jesus preaching that multitude. People's what makes it either bad or good. The atmosphere and what's going on. So you sit real still tonight, and I want to tell you how to have a Christian vacation. When you're on a vacation, you are on vacation from your job. You don't have to worry about your boss man. You don't have to worry about the time clock. You don't have to worry about the people you work for. But you do not cease to be a child of God for a week. Amen? Hey, some people, we was talking the other day, we said, some people, you know what they do? They'll go off on vacation, and I'm talking about lost people, not even Christians right now, and they'll do things on their vacation that they'd never do at home. Hey, they say, buddy, we're going to go to the beach and we're going to get drunk and all, and would never get drunk if they were here in Marion. And somehow or another they think when you go vacation, you're supposed to pull the stops out and you're supposed to let down your guard and just live your dreams and have a big fling for a while and then come back and live a normal life. Now, sinners think like that. Christians are not supposed to think that way. If you're a Christian in North Carolina, you're supposed to be a Christian in Florida. Amen? If you say, well, I kind of feel something bad coming on in this message. Well, I ain't going to make no promises, but the Lord has laid a few things on my heart, and I may drop a bomb or two here tonight that needs to be done, but I believe that if a Christian's going to saw wood, he ought to be a Christian wood saw. If a Christian's going to play ball, he ought to be a Christian ball player. Christian's going to take a vacation, it ought to be a Christian vacation. Amen? I mean, I'm not God, and I'm not trying to run your life or nothing like that, but something wrong when Christians wind up in casinos, gambling and drinking and everything else, brother. That ain't the kind of vacation that God wants you to take. I'm going to talk to you this evening about a Christian vacation. You know what vacation is? The very word, vacate. That means split. That means getting out of here, man. I'm so tired of the same old rut that I'm just ready to leave this place and get along. You know how long your vacation's supposed to be, don't you? It's supposed to be long enough for the boss to miss you, but not long enough for them to realize they don't need you. You won't have a job when you come back. I tell you, some people go hundreds and hundreds of miles to get away from the same old crowd and send them a postcard saying, wish you was here. I don't understand how a lot of people think about. Everybody wants a vacation where the fish bite and the mosquitoes don't. They want to go somewhere and have a wonderful resort for nothing. I want to tell you something about them places before I get started tonight. Brother, if the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, you can bet your life a power bill or two. And I'll guarantee you they ain't going to give you nothing, and you'll pay through the nose for everything that you get. They said there's a tourist guide over there in Switzerland one time, and he's taking these tourists around these high slopes and stuff. He said, now, ladies and gentlemen, as we pass through here, you don't fall off this cliff. However, if you do, look to the right. It's the best view for miles and miles around. And some people never get back, you know, when they go to one like that. Now, I want to say tonight, by way of introduction, I'm going to be short. Now, listen, so tonight, I'm going to be short, but to the point. So you listen. I think that a well-deserved vacation can be good for you. I think sometimes it's good for you and your family to maybe just take off somewhere, visit relatives, friends, go somewhere, have a good time, have fellowship. Do that. That can be good. That can be good. The Lord teaches us all the way through the Bible. He made that seventh day the day of rest. In the Old Testament, they had those years even when they let the land rest. Their bodies would rest on the Sabbath day and all of that. So don't get the idea that I'm against taking a vacation. It's good for you. It's all right. But as a Christian tonight, there are certain things that a child of God should remember when they go on vacation. Three things, right quickly. I'll leave with you. I'll be through. Listen, number one, when a Christian goes on vacation tonight, they should always remember. Listen to me. When a Christian goes on vacation tonight, they should always remember to go to God's house when it's Sunday night or Wednesday night. Amen? Amen, brother. I tell you what, I don't believe that the Lord is pleased with people just saying, well, I'm on vacation and we're going to lay in a sleeping bag or a tent on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, or since we're out here and we don't know no good churches, we'll just read our Bible and pray a little bit. If you could possibly find somewhere where they're having services, you ought to be in God's house with your family on your vacation. What a quiet amen. Some of them amens had to get crutches to get up here where I could hear it. Hey, if it's right for me to go to church this Sunday morning, it'll be right for me to go to church on the 4th of July Sunday. Yeah.
or I'll say anything else about that. I believe you ought to go to church every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and every Wednesday night. And brother, you ought to be there if you're able. And hey, listen, there's nothing wrong with taking a vacation. Hey, I believe everybody ought to have a Bible preaching church. You listen to me? Everybody ought to have a Bible preaching church that they are a part of and be faithful to that church. Amen? There ain't nobody going to have no confidence in you if you're a church hopper. There ain't nobody going to have no confidence in you if you just jump around from one to the other and nobody don't know when you're going to be there and when you're not going to be there. Brother, you need to be a part of a church and get in that church and be a part of it. Some people, I believe they get up on Sunday morning and go out on the interstate and wait till they see them big buses go by with a singer's name on the side of it and follow that thing to wherever it's going to go that morning. That's where they go to church. They call them diesel sniffers. That's right, brother. Here are them diesel sniffing Christians. I mean, it's everywhere you go. Well, so and so's going to be there Sunday morning. I'm going to go hear them. And the inspirations are going to be over there Sunday night, and I'm going to go hear them. And the Kingsman's going to be over there next Sunday morning, and I want to hear them. And brother, just run on. Listen, if you're like that, you can't never be a part of a church. You can't never teach a Sunday school class. You can't never do that. And that especially goes for you young preachers here tonight. You say, well, if I go other places, God will open doors. God might open the doors, but then you might be kicking them down too. I don't know if God's opening them or not. If you'll be faithful to God and be faithful to the church you're in, God will look down and see that, and He'll open the door when He wants you to go. He don't want you hopping all over creation like a bunny rabbit, preacher. He wants you to be faithful to your church. I don't care if you don't like that or not, brother. It's the truth anyhow. Amen? It's the truth. Everybody needs a church that they're part of and back up. What somebody calls me and asks me about you? What else so-and-so? Do they back? Lord, I don't know. I don't know if they even go to church half the time. I hardly ever see them. Amen? I'm telling you the truth tonight. When you go on vacation, you go to God's house. Brother, I know sometimes it's hard to find a good church to go to. I know sometimes it's hard to find a decent place where you'll find any preaching. But I'd rather take my family where they heard a message that wasn't so great than to teach my kids it's all right to lay out of the house of God. Amen. Make sure you say, well, preacher, we just want to goof around this week, and I didn't even bring no church clothes. Well, when you're packing your clothes, you better, I worry about something. I worry about people that nothing they got's fit to wear to church. You might need to change some of them clothes. It's going to get worse now, so just keep your seatbelts. For some reason or another, I feel just a tad here tonight that somebody's already mad. Now, the truth is tonight, if what I'm saying's right, all you to do is take it like a man, get down here to altar, and get right with God. Don't get mad at me. If you're in the wrong, get right. If I'm in the wrong, ignore me. But if I'm in the right, you better get right with God, brother. Amen. You ought to go to God's house. Brother, you say, well, Brother Danny, we go visit my aunt every year in Arkansas, and none of them go to church, and we just feel like it would make them uncomfortable if we forced the issue, and so we just don't go to church so we won't offend them. Brother, we've carried that offending business too far. Hey, listen, I don't want to offend nobody. I don't purposely hurt nobody's feelings. But when it comes Sunday morning church, you got a problem with me and my family getting up and going to church. If you get offended, that's tough. That's just your, that's too bad, brother. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. That's tough apples. That's just the way the snow drifts. When we turn Sunday morning, it's time to go to the house of God. Amen. Brother, the least you could do is honor God. Don't you think them lost kin folks don't notice it? They may not say nothing, but they know you claim to be a Christian. You say, well, Brother Danny, my people come down here and they visit us every year, and I just can't leave them at home. Why not? It ain't going to kill them. Hey, listen, man. Listen. I'm not trying to brag tonight. I'm using this example. My daddy died on Sunday morning. On Sunday morning. My whole family started coming in. People's coming from everywhere. Family, friends. I had a headache so bad I was about to die. My dad had a casket in a casket at the funeral home. And I was back here at church on Sunday night.
Yes, sir.
And preached.
Right.
And I was here at our Watch Night service on Monday night. And then we received friends on Tuesday. Don't come whining to me about my family. What do you think some of my family thought about me? You know what I told them when I got that? I said, listen, we're going to church tonight. We got services. You say, don't you think they thought you was crazy? They probably did, brother. But I'm telling you, God, I answer to God first. He's the one that saved me. He's the one that changed my life. It ain't going to do them no good to sit there and baby them. I tell you what, it done me good to come to the house of God that night. It lifted my burden. There wasn't nothing I could do for my daddy. It wasn't out of district. I loved him with all my heart. But I tell you what, brother, when it's church time, it's nothing else time. There are cases when you're out of town. There are cases when certain people have to work on certain jobs and things like that. I'm not gonna jump on down your throat. I know I'm a reasonable person. I really am. But brother, there's too many people that let vacations and kin folks and family over them keep them out of the house of God. You say, well, I can't just walk out and leave them. You surely can too. I did. I said, they's blown in the refrigerator if you get hungry. That's right. If not, I'll see you about, that's why sometime. It ain't going to kill them. One of these days, if they decide to get saved, you'll be the one they call on. One of my uncles, my daddy's youngest brother who was here, is not saved. And I tried to witness to him. And you know what he told me? He said, I'm not ready now, Danny, but if I ever decide to get saved, you're the man I'm calling.
Amen.
Amen. And that was a compliment to me. Amen. Go to God's house when you're off. I remember when I was up there, my kin folks had mean as snakes up there in West Virginia. And there's a church across the street. And I told them, I said, what time service start over there? That's where we're going to go. This has been five years ago, I reckon. And they said, well, it starts at such and such time. And I went over to that little church on Wednesday night. Here a couple of weeks ago when my family went on vacation. We went over there to Ed Parton's church, Freedom Independent Baptist Church. He's some distant relative to Dolly, but he don't like for you to mention that. And boy, he's a good preacher. That's where Brother Ralph Sexton Jr. and him got together and had that meeting last year. He's over there in Pigeon Forge. Man, they got a good church. Fired up. And I got to hear a good message. They called on me testimony. And some of them been down here to our youth rally. And boy, we just got a spiritual boost there in the middle of the week.
Yeah.
Amen. Go to God's house. Secondly, when you go on vacation, make sure that you always be a good example of a child of God. Might have turned down just a hair, Bill. That means everywhere I go, just because I'm somewhere where nobody don't know me, don't mean that I'm just supposed to forget about being a Christian. Amen? Amen? I remember hearing old Billy Kelly said a long time ago, he said when he first got saved, he smoked for a long time. And he smoked. He knew it was wrong, but he kept doing it. And he said he kind of hid it, you know, wouldn't do it around nobody. He said, boy, he went off to Florida and was on vacation or something. He said, buddy, it's going to feel so good just to light up a cigarette. I don't care whose. I tell you, brother, it's going to feel neat. He lit one up and started walking down the street like that. And the first person he met was somebody from his hometown. There they come. He said he stuck that thing in his pocket like that. And it was burning him and everything. And drug it up through there. And he said the Lord told him, he said, hey, if you're a preacher, if it's wrong for you in South Carolina, it's wrong for you in Florida. Amen. Oh, brother, there's nothing wrong with you taking your family on vacation, but just make sure you're a Christian while you go. Brother, I'm a firm believer, and I don't mean to be hard-headed. I don't think anybody over here can say I'm overboard on this. I don't think anybody in here can say Brother Danny's just a Pharisee. I don't think anybody accuses me of that. I tell you tonight, bless your soul, there'll be a difference in a child of God. We're peculiar people. We don't act the same way they act. We don't talk the same way they talk. We don't go the same things they go. We don't look the same way they look. Amen. That means you mamas and daddies, make sure your kids has got some clothes on and cover up their nakedness. Hey, brother, it's wrong for a girl to go out in public and show her body. Amen. Yes, sir. Sure is. I know it ain't popular, but it's truth anyhow. The Bible said for a woman to be adorned with modest apparel. What does modest mean? It don't mean showing your thighs, girls, I can tell you. Thank God somebody agrees with me over here. Amen. Hey, listen to me tonight. I'm not going to fuss with you tonight. I'm not going to be a smarty. But you ought not to go out in public showing your thighs. And other parts of you ain't supposed to be showing in public. Amen. That goes for mama. Lordy mercy. And daddy too. We was over there the other day, and my little girls, they love them water slide and stuff, so took them to the water slide place. A little bitty water about that deep, you know, and water slides all over the place, you know, and everything. And I mean, I know we look stupid. My wife here sitting here tonight, and I thank God for her dedication and her willingness. There ain't nobody here, you won't see her out dressed in public. Amen, you won't see her. And I thank God she's that way. I'm not a browbeater, and I'm not trying to be a smart aleck tonight, but that's a small price for us as Christians to pay after what God's done for us. Now we took we were there, she had on some thing come down to here, and a shirt and all, and I had on a shirt and an old pair of blue jeans, and I rolled them up right here. I looked probably Tom Sawyer or some idiot like that. And I know we look dumb. I do. You say, well, didn't people stare at you? I don't really remember looking to see if anybody's staring at us. They probably did. And you can ask Carrie and you can ask Brandy. She went with us. I made them wear something down here. When they got out in public, I said, you know, if y'all even go swimming in the pool or at the motel, you're going to have something on to cover your nakedness. That ain't nothing we should die over. Amen? I don't think I'm being unreasonable. I don't think I'm an overboard legalist, all that kind of stuff. But it's just common sense. I tell a Christian ought to cover their nakedness in public. I tell you, what you do in your own home is your business. And ain't none of mine. What you do out in public is God's business, and it's my business as a preacher. I mean, you say, well, didn't you look peculiar? We're supposed to be peculiar. That's right. A Christian's supposed to be peculiar. And I told my wife, I said, we probably look stupid. You know, me look like Huckleberry Finn here. And you know, it's hard to swim with long pants on, brother. Man, they'll drown you nearly. But did you know something? I told her, I said, well, don't worry about it, honey. To me, personally, we don't look near as stupid as a lot of these people. And if we do look stupid, it's only because of what we're wearing. I mean, you know, we'd look as good as anybody in here if we wanted to. Amen. I mean, if they make fun of us, it's just because our clothes. That's more than I can say for a lot of what I've seen. Once. Lord have mercy. I've seen one. I'm not trying to be ugly. Lord have mercy. I thought it was an elephant with a diaper on. She was hanging out everywhere you could hang out. Honest to goodness, I'm not trying to be ugly, brother, but she's real sunburnt here and white underneath it because you can't get a suntan where it's shady. Honest, that's the truth. It was sickening. I thought, brother, they better not say nothing about us looking peculiar. God help, I don't look like that. And she's walking around like that, and then here's this man going around with her, looks like an anemic flamingo. And he's chasing around behind her his legs look like a rope with a knot tied in it. And right around there, he looks like a lobster on one side and saw his wife. I said, honey, we may look dumb out here, but at least it's cause our clothes. So I wouldn't worry too much about what they thought. Who cares? Big deal. Hey man, I've seen somebody with a big tattoo on their rear end. Like, if that looks stupid, we sure can be all right. Amen. I tell you what, brother. Listen, you keep some clothes on when you're in public. It's not right for you girls to parade your nakedness around. And I mean, you know it ain't right here. You ought to want a decent dress when you come to the house of God. You ought to be decent. Have your neck. If there's anywhere in the world that a person ought to be able to come and not have to see wickedness, it's God's house. That's why I teach family, you ought to dress your kids decent when they come to church. These little boys, listen, I don't even, these boys that come to church nowadays, you got four different colors of hair and five different colors of pants and 15 different colors of tennis shoes and their head shaved here and a ponytail down their neck and look like a vacuum cleaner been hooked up to their neck for 3 hours the night before. Brother Hayes, that ain't what Christianity is. And say, I won't come back. Well, this must be your time, man. You just happened to hit it right tonight, I tell you. You ought to be an example of a Christian. Anybody that knows me knows that I'm not unreasonable with these type of things. I'm real lenient in a lot of areas. I really am. I believe what the Bible says. If the Bible makes an issue out of it, I make an issue out of it. If the Bible don't, it's between you and God. But I tell you what, we're supposed to be a Christian when we go off in places like this. I'm not saying you have to wear a tie or nothing like that. It'd be a good idea if you young boys learn how to dress nice as you can when you come to the house of God. Not wear the old nastiest thing you can find just to get attention. Amen? All right, be an example of a Christian. Number three, be a witness. Be a witness. Take your handful of tracks or a bunch of tracks, put them in your glove compartment, put them in a sun visor, put them in your purse, put them in the trunk, put them in a suitcase, and every time you go out to eat, it's not asking too much after what the Lord's done for us. Put some of them in your pocket and give out a few. You say, well, Brother Danny, I'm going to a campground where there ain't having no services and ain't no church with miles around. If you're a place where there ain't no church at all, get your family together and have church. If you're out in the desert or somewhere where there ain't one, but just remember, honor God. Put Him first. Put Him first. Be a witness. I witnessed this girl over in Pigeon Forge the other night. Told you about one. Two, I gave a track. One of them looked back and told me she was a lesbian and cussed. Just a young girl. And this girl who was running this place, little game place, you know, where you play them little roller balls, you know, and shoot basketball and little games like that. And Chris and Corey loves that little junk like that, you know, and try to get a little stuffed animal or something. And this girl was running that place, and she heard that girl tell me she is a lesbian. Boy, she was in shock, so I started talking to her. And you know what she started doing? She started crying. She started wiping, you know, like this, you know, because they don't want their makeup to run. I'm scared to death. I seen them do like this right here. Get something to wipe it on because that black junk starts running down through there. And I tell them, just go ahead and let it run off, sister. You can go to Walmart and buy you a brand new face tomorrow. Hey, ain't that big of a deal? And she started crying and told me, she said, my mother just died recently with cancer. She said, I'm having a hard time with it. She said, why would God take my mother? And right there for about 10 minutes, me and Carissa stood there and talked to that girl and tried to minister to her. And I thought, hey, when I'm on vacation, I'm still a preacher. When I'm on vacation, I'm still a Christian. And them people out there are going to hell just like they are here. If I've got a responsibility to witness here, I've got a responsibility to witness there. When you pull in to get gas, give the guy a track. I talked to her and her sister. She explained to them. She thought her mom believed in healing real strong, and she had cancer, and she prayed to be healed, and she did not get healed, and she died. And it just threw them for a loop. And I told her, God don't always heal everybody. If God always healed everybody, they wouldn't nobody ever die. Amen. If God healed everybody that asked Him, some people would be 800 and 900 years old. You ever thought about that? The Lord don't always do it. So I tried to help her and explain to her. And we was trying to be a witness to her. Other young men, we just went up and gave them some tracks. Leave them on the table with a tip. Don't get cussed out. And just be a witness for the glory of God. You know how to have a Christian vacation? You say, well, Brother Danny, I want to... Now listen, if you find you a place where you can get some privacy and no people around, stuff like that, to you and your family and God, do whatever you want to. But when you're in public, you have a responsibility. When there's other people right around, you have a responsibility to be an example of a child of God. Amen? And there's nobody in here to argue with that. If you'll be honest tonight, you've got to admit that you had a responsibility to be an example of the believers, no matter who or where or what you do. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Let's have a Christian vacation this summer. Say, well, we can't afford it. Preacher, I even have one. That might be the best thing that ever happened to you. Just enjoy the Lord. Get a pork and bean sandwich and go up on the parkway. And just relax. Go up in the woods somewhere. Go wherever you want to. Just make sure God's leading you and He's put first. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that needs to pray about this. If you have a lost husband tonight, I know that puts a tremendous amount of pressure on you. Some of you ladies, don't think that I'm trying to be mean or ugly or hateful or nothing like that. I'm not. If you have a wife that's backslid and not serving God, men, I know a lot of times there's nothing you can do about certain things. Example of the believers. Dear Lord, help us. Help us. Help us, Lord, we ask. Help us to be a blessing. Not only outwardly, but inwardly. Help us to be right with You in our hearts. Forgive us where we've sinned against You. Help us to be close to You and live right. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Everybody knows. If you need to come, come on.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior.
All right, everybody sing it now.
I can hear louder. My Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow, follow me.
Let's sing, everybody.
Where He
thank God.
Wait.